I am a fan of a Star Trek episode, and it's called The Spectre of the Gun, and it came out during the first year. The thing that really stands out about that, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the punchline up front so you'll know where we're going. The Enterprise is going into an area, and it's called the neutral zone. And the neutral zone is where there is no wars, no one fights, no one enters in. Well, Captain Kirk decides that he's going to cross the neutral zone. Well, the Malkoshians, which was a group of aliens, were not happy with that. And so they had the ability to remove Captain Kirk from where he was on the Enterprise to a place where they wanted him to be. So everyone that was on the Enterprise on the part of the ship that did all the controls, Chekhov, Scotty, all those guys were transported to this place away from the Enterprise. And they were transported to this place, and they were in a place where the things that would normally happen when you did something did not happen. Okay? And so they were put into a makeshift OK Corral. Okay? It was the OK Corral. And so everything that was supposed to happen in the OK Corral was going to be reenacted with Captain Kirk's and his crew, the point being that they were going to be killed on this planet. Okay? And there came to a point where they were building a container that emitted gas. And the gas would temporarily knock you out. Okay, because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to not fight with the ERPs, so they wanted to have this gas to knock them out. Well, Scotty, and so they had built it, and so Spock said, we need someone to test it. And so Scotty says, okay, I'll test it. So they unleashed it, and he just sat there, and the gas just went up, and nothing happened. And Spock said, the gas should have worked. Okay? The point being, on the Enterprise, where they were originally, the gas would have worked. But in this place where they are now, the gas does not work. Okay? And so Spock says, I know it's supposed to work. And everyone else said, but if it's not working, then it's not working. But see, Spock says, I have no doubts that it's supposed to work. They had doubt because of what they were seeing. Okay, that's why the title of the message today is The Bullets Are Not Real. Okay, and we're going to see that as we get into it. There's more to it, and I will give you a little bit more as we go along. But I really want to set that for you because for those of you who have not heard Pastor's teaching, he did this 3 years ago, it may be four. And the title of it is Genesis 1 versus Genesis 3. That's the title of the message, Genesis 1 versus Genesis 3. And the whole point of the message was that Jesus, when he was here, he operated in a Genesis 1 way, okay, even though he lived in a Genesis 3 world. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but evidently this is what the Lord wants. We are living in a Genesis 3 world right now, but we are supposed to function in a Genesis 1 world because of the spirit that resides on the inside of us, okay? That's how we're supposed to live. Everything that was happening in Genesis 1 and 2 is supposed to be happening in our lives today because that's what we were designed and created to do, okay? Look in Genesis chapter 1. So, for our example here, the Enterprise was the original habitation, okay? We're going to look at the original habitation God set up for us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, okay? Now, if you don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, then the rest of this message, you might as well not even sit through it. Because if you don't believe that part of it, how on earth are you going to believe that God cares about you? How are you going to believe that if you don't believe that he created everything in the beginning? Okay. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I was reading that this morning, and God says, you know why the earth was without form and void? Because I want to show you how to bring things into existence. Isn't that neat? I want to show you how to bring things into existence. The very next verse. What does it say? And God said.
Yep.
I can stop the sermon right now. Go home. We're done. That's how you bring what God has planned for you into your life. You have to say it. Okay, verse 3, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. And verse 24, and God said. God talks a lot. But see, he's making a point for us. If you want to see heaven on earth, you got to say it. Because, see, when God put together the earth the first time, he was recreating heaven on earth. So if you want to see heaven on earth, you have got to speak it. Okay? Now, what I'm about to share with you is some good stuff. Okay? I want you to look at verse 26. Remember it says God said, and in all the other things, it says God says, let there be, let there be, let there be. When he gets to us, it's no God said, let there be. God said, let us make. Get a hold of that. God said, let us make. He got personally involved when it came to us. He said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness. And not only are we going to make him look like us, to act like us, we're going to give him the dominion that we have in heaven. We're going to give it to him on earth. I got to rewind that. Okay? Not only are we going to have him look like us and act like us, the dominion we have in heaven, he's going to have on earth. You see that? Based on what we're seeing happening now, does it feel like we have dominion the way things go going? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. What does God's word say? We have it. See, Satan wants you to look at what are you seeing? And God says, I don't care what you see. My word says you have dominion. I don't care what it looks like. You have dominion. Folks, stop looking at what it looks like. When you look at something that doesn't look like what God's word says, that ain't for me. That's not God's word. That's what you have to do. You have to retrain yourself to agree with this. Because as long as you're not agreeing with this, you're not going to get the results of this. God said. Martha said, Linda said. You see what I'm saying? When you say what God says, it happens. It happens. Okay. And let them have dominion on earth like I have in heaven, like we have in heaven. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in whose image? His. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? That was supposed to be our original habitation. That was our, for the sake of this message, enterprise. Okay? Now, since Captain Kirk disobeyed, he ended up in a place that was not the enterprise. Okay? Look at chapter 2. If there was a verse in the Old Testament, one of the verses in the Old Testament that you should highlight, that you should put a star around, it's chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? Because chapter 2, verse 15 is all about your dominion. And the Lord God took man, put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That word keep means to put a hedge around it, to guard it, to protect it. That's why God put man in the garden. Now, why could man guard the garden? Because he had dominion here, like God has dominion there. That's why he could keep and guard the garden. Are you with me? Okay? Because that's very important. That is very important. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded. He did not make a suggestion. He did not make a recommendation. He did not say, perhaps you should want to consider this. He commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Plain and simple. God is telling man, you either obey me or you get the consequences. See how simple that is? That's what it boils down to. You obey me, you do what I ask you to do, or you get the consequences. Okay? The consequences happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, when Eve and Adam ate of the fruit of the garden. Okay? Look at verse 11 in Genesis chapter 3. And God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Jump down to verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Okay? You know, you can learn a lot of things from Scripture about what it does not say. What was God's issue with Adam? You listened to someone else other than me. That was his issue. And that's always going to be his issue. It's always going to be your enemy's issue. He wants you to listen to him and not listen to God. That's his issue. Okay? And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For thus thou art, and to thus thou shalt return. So we see then that the original habitation is now not looking like what it used to look like. You know, we're still living in the cursed. And yet, there are so many beautiful things that we see in this curse. The Grand Canyons, you go to Niagara Falls. This is gorgeous stuff. Can you imagine what that would have looked like without sin? I can't even imagine. When Adam disobeyed, he was forced to leave the place where he ruled. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, Adam ruled. Adam ruled to such a point that God brought all the animals to Adam and said, you name them. God could have named them, but he says, Adam, you name them. But why? Adam had dominion on earth like God has dominion in heaven. If you don't remember anything else I say today, you have dominion on earth like God has dominion in heaven. Okay? Adam, now in a different place, answered to a ruler. Instead of being the ruler, he answered to a ruler. Because when Adam sinned, He lost the life and nature of God and got a sin nature, which was dominated by enemy, Satan. Okay? Now, Jesus obeyed God and gave man an opportunity to rule again. Notice I had my notes chance. I changed the opportunity. Because, see, we don't have to take that opportunity. He gave it to us. We got born again. We have God's life and nature. We have that opportunity. We don't have to take that opportunity. Most of us don't. Most of us don't. Most of us are content to just see how things go from day to day, rather than determining how things should go from day to day. Okay? Look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus was the second Adam. Okay? Now, think about this. If Jesus was the second Adam, and Adam was originally made, formed, made, and created in a world in which he dominated, then if Jesus is the second Adam, Jesus now comes into a world that he is supposed to dominate. Okay? See, the dominion is still there for man when you got God's life and nature in you. Because without God's life and nature, you don't have dominion. It's not going to happen. Because you are still at Satan's beck and call until you get born again. That's the way it works. Okay? In Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam. Notice this. It doesn't say one woman.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It says one man. See, God held Adam responsible. He didn't hold Eve responsible. He held Adam responsible. Because Adam was the one he gave the charge to. Husbands. I don't hear any amens after that one. Where are the amens, husbands? God gave us the responsibility to have to keep and guard our homes. Okay? He gave it to us. Now, do you know why there are so many wives and women who are trying to live and guard their homes? We stink. We stink. That's why. We stink. The men. Okay? God gave Adam the responsibility for keeping and guarding the garden. Okay? That responsibility falls on the husbands. All right? Look at verse 18. So we see verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Okay? Now, and I'm not going to stray far, I'm just going to make one quick comment. If there was no death before Adam sinned, how can there be millions of years? Okay, now look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What is this telling us? Two things. Number one, when we were born, we had no choice. We were born with a sin nature. Okay? So Adam gave that to us as a present. Okay? Hate that present. Didn't like it. Stunk. Jesus gave us another present. Okay? Righteousness. A new life. An eternity spent with his Father and our Father. Verse 19, for if by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. See, you didn't have a choice. You were born a sinner because of what Adam did. By the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Shall be made righteous. In other words, you have to do something to be made righteous. Okay? Now, look in John chapter 3. What do we have to do to be made righteous? You all know this story. This is not a new story. This is not a new passage. Matter of fact, the things I read today, it's not going to be new. Okay? In John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, and what's the word, anything, A-N-O-T-H-E-N, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So until you get born again, until you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot see Genesis chapter 1. See how you just tie stuff like that in? You just won't see it. So if you're not seeing Genesis chapter 1, then you're not seeing everything that's supposed to happen in your life based on Genesis chapter 1. You're seeing Genesis chapter 3 stuff continuing to happen in your life. Okay? Now, let's look very quickly at how Jesus ruled. Look at Acts chapter 10. Remember when I said Spock said the tranquilizer was supposed to work? Okay? Jesus is going to show us how the tranquilizer is supposed to work. Okay? Look in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Again, a verse you're familiar with. Notice the wording. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What I wanted you to notice was who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Okay? He looked for opportunities to fulfill God's word here in Genesis chapter 3. World. He looked for opportunities. Okay? Matthew chapter 8. And I'm going to say something to you that I'm really, 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 really serious about. Don't take what I'm telling you without going back and spending time with the Holy Spirit to make sure that what I'm teaching you is right, because that's your responsibility. Okay? And see, that's one of the things we learn from our shepherd. He's always told us, don't just take his word for it. Go back, review, spend time with the Holy Spirit. So he can, see, the Holy Spirit teaches you the way you learn. He doesn't teach you the way the pastor learns or the way Barry learns. So you have to spend time with the Holy Spirit so he can teach you the things that he wants to teach you the way you learn. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So notice he had leprosy. And he says, Lord, if you can make me clean. Jesus said, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're clean. Genesis chapter 1, operating in a Genesis chapter 3 world. Okay? Look at verse 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his mother's wife laid and sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and he arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were oppressed, that were possessed with devils. He came out, and he cast out the spirits with his word, healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Elias, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So we see here, Jesus, when the man had leprosy, he spoke. When Peter's mom, he touched. And then all the other folks who came for prayer, he spoke. Okay? Look in chapter 9. Okay. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man that was sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Okay? What is Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us two things, at least. Number one, the primary issue for this person was not healing. This person needed to know that he has been forgiven more than he needed the healing. Okay? Because, see, if you don't think you deserve healing, healing is not going to come. So Jesus had to attack the real issue, which was this man feeling that he could not be forgiven for whatever things that he had done. And Jesus, first thing he says, you've been forgiven. Okay? The Pharisees loved that. They thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. Right. And behold, certain of the scribes say within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says, wherefore think evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power. That word power is exousia, which means authority. Okay? Has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick apostle, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Take up thy bed and go into thine own house. And he arose and departed into his house. And the multitude saw it. They marveled, glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Okay? Such power unto men. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven. Then he says that verse 6, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28, God gave man dominion. And after Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, there's nowhere in Scripture where it ever says God took the dominion back. Okay? So what Jesus was doing here in Matthew chapter 9 was simply doing what God had told him to do, told us to do back in Genesis chapter 1. He took dominion. He took authority. Okay? How many of you are willing to take what's already yours? What's rightfully yours? How many of you? How many of you? Are you letting Satan question your position as a ruler? Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 4. We talked about that a little bit. How many of you think that Matthew chapter 4 is in here by accident? Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 3, the very first words out of the serpent's mouth was, did God really say? Okay? So he's questioning God. He's questioning you about what you know about God. Okay? That's what he did with Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. Here in Matthew, when he is facing Jesus, they're having a standoff, he says, listen, Jesus, if you are really the Son of God, let's eat. That says, if you are really the Son of God. Are you really? Come on, it's just the two of us here. It's just the boys. You don't have to play games with me, Jesus. Are you really the Son of God? And he asks him that over and over and over. Now, let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. If he approached Jesus like that, don't you think he's going to approach us like that? Are you really who you've been told that you are? If you are really God's child, if you are really God's daughter, if you are really God's son, then why is all of this happening to you? I was faced with that. Barry, if you are really God's son, why didn't you do something to help your daughter? You see how he attacks you? He tries to make you feel like, listen,
when it comes to dealing with me, Barry, dealing with Satan, dealing with arch enemy number one, I rule. Because, see, look what I did to your daughter. I rule. Thank God for his word. My experiences, my circumstances do not determine my doctrine. Your circumstances, your situations do not determine your doctrine. This determines your doctrine. Because, see, Satan wants everything but God's word to determine what you believe about God. And see, if I bought into that, since I'm supposed to guard my family, protect my family, and this is what happened to my daughter, gee, Barry, you kind of suck at that job, don't you? You couldn't, look, you suck at that job. Because look what happened to her. You know, if you know you just feed on that long enough, you begin to start thinking, well, maybe I do suck at that job. But see, God says, my word is true. Not what you see, not what you hear, not what happens. My word is true. So, Barry, Candace is in the hospital. What are you going to do, Barry? This is God talking. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to speak spirit and life into my daughter's situation. That's what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter what I'm seeing right now. What I'm seeing, I don't like. But I am going to speak your life into my daughter's life. That's what I'm going to do. Satan didn't want to hear that. And see, that's where we are every day in every situation. Satan is going to say, Barry, are you really God's son? Do you really, Barry, think that you can do the same things that Jesus did? Come on, Barry. Who are you fooling? Jesus, I know. Barry, who are you fooling? Okay? And see, until Barry does what he needs to do to look more and more like Jesus, Satan is going to continue to say, Jesus, I know, but Barry, who are you? My plan is to live long enough when for Satan to say, and I'm standing before him, and he sees Jesus. Because, see, my life is now in line with his life. He doesn't see anyone else but Jesus. And that's what I'm going to live long enough to see. And that's what you need to live long enough to see. Okay? When you are not sure you are a ruler, then what is supposed to happen when you speak will not happen. Remember the example in the Star Trek about the tranquilizer not working and it's supposed to work? Okay. When you are not sure who you are, how can you have faith? Okay. In the Star Trek episode, they were getting to the point, they were getting ready to go out and face Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. And Spock was saying that I know that everything that's going on here is not real. So therefore, since I know that everything that's happening right now is not real, then the bullets are not real that they're going to be shooting. And so Dr. McCoy says, but Spock, we have doubt. We're not sure like you are. So we're going to die. The point I want to make with you is this. Where there is doubt, there is death. Because, see, if there's doubt in a situation for you that you're looking at, it's going to kill your faith. And so if you have dead faith, there's nothing going to work in your life in that area. And so Dr. McCoy says, Spock, how can we be as sure as you. Okay? Before we get there, look at Mark chapter 9. I think Mark chapter 9 is probably many of us in this room, if we are honest enough to admit it. Look at verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitudes answered and said, "Master, I have brought thee my son, a dumb spirit. And when and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to your church." I spake to your sons and your daughters. Okay? That they should cast him out, and they could not. Ouch. You know, it's okay when they were speaking to the disciples, but when you put us in there, okay? And he answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." O faithless generation, you don't have enough faith. It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. So let me make it very, very simple for you. Like God had to make it for me, since, you know, I'm kind of slow sometimes. When you are praying and you don't see the results that you want to, that you know the word says you are supposed to do, it's a faith issue. You don't have enough. Don't condemn yourself because you don't have enough. Recognize you don't have enough, and then do what you need to do to get more. We all have a measure of faith. It's been measured out. Okay? But I'm amazed at how many of us are not walking in our measure. God has given you the faith that you need to do everything he has asked you to do in this life. So many of us are not even walking in it. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming. He asked his father, "How long is it ago since he came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. Oftentimes he would cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help him." And Jesus said, "You know, just like I did with the lepers, I can have compassion and I will." Is that what he said? No. Mm-mm. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said he put it back on that father. He put it back on that father. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." It is not Jesus' responsibility to believe for you. It is not Jesus' responsibility to have enough faith for you. That's on you. That's on you. You can't, if that has happened, you can blame nobody but you. That's on you. Stop trying to blame God. That is on you. Okay? Some folks should be set free right now. Because you know now the only thing I need to do is do whatever I need to do to build my faith. And once I build my faith, then the things that God talks about in his word, I'm going to start seeing. Isn't that neat? It's no condemnation. It's just a recognition of this is where I am. This is where I need to be. Very simple. Okay? Now, let's talk about how to remove doubt. Okay? Now, I need Stephen. Okay? Dr. McCoy says, how can we have the same assurance that you have, knowing that the bullets are not real? Come here, Stephen. So he does the Vulcan mind melt. Takes his hand, and listen, he says, "My mind to your mind. My thoughts to your thoughts. The bullets, they are an illusion. They are not real. They're shadows. They are not real." Okay? You see that? Now, Sometimes I think Satan doesn't realize that he lets, thank you, Stephen, he lets some things slide through that he does not intend to let slide through. Like that episode of Star Trek. Okay? The Vulcan mind melt. Okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? See, when we start to think like God thinks, that yes, this is happening, but this is what the Word of God says. Okay? When I'm operating like I'm supposed to in Genesis chapter 1, these things that are happening to me, they're going to stop. They're going to become illusions. They're going to be part of my past. They're not going to be part of my present anymore. They are shadows. You see? And see, when it comes to things of Satan, they need to be shadows to us. They need to be illusions to us. They have no substance for us. The only thing that has substance for us is God's Word. God's Word is the only thing that has substance for us. We cannot let anything else have substance for us other than God's Word. Okay? Which one do I want to focus? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 20. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians, well, I need to get there first. Okay. Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak. And God said, and God said, and God said. Which things we speak. Gary Carpenter made a statement. He said, you know where Christians fall the most? It's in their confessions. Because, you know, we speak the word, we speak the word, we speak the word. And then when we're not seeing the results that we want to see, we stop speaking the word. And as soon as we stop speaking the word, then that's when the results stop happening. Okay? Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in a tongue, unknown tongue, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay? So if you want to remove all doubt, you got to spend time in a prayer closet. You got to spend time praying in the Spirit. Because that's direct communication between you and your Father. Okay? That's one-on-one. Doesn't get any better than that. Look in chapter 2, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to hit all of these, but I want you, when you have a chance, to go back and take a look at some of these also. In verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So until we get born again, we cannot know the things of God. Okay? We cannot know the things of God. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 18. Did I read right one? Yeah, 2 Corinthians? Nope. I was in 1 Corinthians. That's why I got the looks that I got. Where is he reading? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all, but that was a good verse. Okay, that was still a good verse, okay? For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, we have been told from time to time by preachers that God answers some prayers. No. I'm standing here before you today to tell you that God never says no to a prayer, as long as the prayer is in him. And in him means the prayer is in agreement with his word. God never says no to prayer. Never. When it's prayed in him. Okay? When it's prayed in him. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. Remember, I was telling you how I want my life to get to a point that when Satan sees me, he sees Jesus. But we all, verse 18, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Hold up the mirror. Hold up the mirror. Okay? Hold up the mirror. Look in chapter 10. How many of you in your, during your lifetime have had people who just rubbed you the wrong way? How many of you life in your lifetime have rubbed people the wrong way? Oh. The mistake that we make as Christians is we believe that the person who is rubbing us the wrong way is it's happening because the person is rubbing us the wrong way. Okay? What we don't realize is that oftentimes, majority of the time, there's a spiritual reason behind why the people are rubbing us the wrong way. Satan is pushing buttons, people. And so when you're trying to deal with that person instead of dealing with the cause, you don't get an answer. And this is what we see here in chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. Our battle is not with the person in front of us. Our battle is with principalities and powers and wicked rulers on high places. That's where our battle is. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not part of this world, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's where the battle is. Making our thoughts Christ's thought. That's where the battle is. Because that's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. It is written. This is what God says in response to what you just said, Satan. This is what God says, okay? The bullets are not real. Look at Mark chapter 9. We're going to wind this up. The bullets are not real. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said, and we just read it, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Look in chapter 11. Again, these are not unfamiliar verses, but I want you to pay attention to these two verses we're about to read. Okay? And it's a common theme that we've been hearing all morning. For verily I say unto you, verse 23, that whoever shall do what? Say. Unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he what?
Saith
shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he what?
Saith.
This is one verse, and there's one say, there's another saith. There's at least what, three saith?
Mm-hmm.
In one verse. Authority not spoken is not authority. Verse 24. Therefore I do what? Say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What is the condition? That you speak it. That you speak it. Okay? And let's end in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, John chapter 14, verse 12, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. That's what Jesus said. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read that a little bit earlier, how God anointed Jesus Christ with power and the Holy Ghost, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and casting out devils, for God was with him. We read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we're going to end. The bullets are not real. Satan's attacks can only produce in your life what he desires them to produce when you allow the bullets to become real. I don't know how to put it any plainer. Since we have dominion because of the life and nature that God has given to us that we have now received, Satan can do nothing to us that we do not allow. But Barry, if that is true, and God has given you responsibility to guard and protect your home, and your daughter's in the hospital, what are you telling me? What I'm telling you is that I have not been doing enough in my faith walk to get me to the place for that attack not to occur. Okay? So it just makes me angry, even more so, to do whatever I can to make sure that something like that does not happen in the future. See, God wants us to get mad. Remember when Jesus was in the temple and there was a man with a withered arm? And he was saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And he looked around about them. He got hot under the collar. Because he knew that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. We are the lords of the Sabbath. So whenever God's will needs to be done, no matter what day it is, it gets done because we're there to get it done. Okay? So you get angry until you get your faith from here to here to here to here. And at some point, once your faith gets somewhere, you have, you know, dead raising faith, you know, raising people from the dead type faith. You know, the Smith Wigglesworth type faith. Okay? That's what you want. But look, let's end with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Paul says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established or makes you firm, he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Okay, is God. Who hath also sealed us. That word sealed means we have been marked. We have a mark on us. Okay? And hath given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In other words, we now have a down payment to go along with that mark. Okay? We have an earnest. We have this, the new birth is an earnest that we have. Why is it called an earnest? Because we have not gotten everything that goes along with it. What's left? The new body. The kind of body that Jesus had after he was raised from the dead. He came in, he ate fish, walked through walls, stuff like that. Okay? Moreover, I call God for a record, a witness upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. In other words, I'm not coming here to give you sugar-coated messages. I'm not coming here to let you know everything is all right. I'm coming here because you got issues, and we're going to deal with your issues. Okay? When you read 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, you see that the church at Corinth had a lot of issues. Okay? But even though I came here not to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith. Even though I came here not to spare you, it's not because I want to dominate your faith. That's not the issue, okay? But we want to be helpers, co-laborers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. And that's where I want to end. By faith ye stand. Because Paul was telling the church at Corinth that everything that God wants to do in your life while I'm here, it goes hand in hand with faith. Even though we are seeing right now attacks from the enemy, okay, do not let the attacks of the enemy hurt your faith. If anything, make the attacks of the enemy make you more determined to increase your faith. Okay? I think one of the worst things that we have done, we, meaning people like me, we've told folks that you only need a little bit of faith, the grain of a mustard seed faith, to see God operating in your life. But see, that was not the message of the mustard seed that Jesus was telling him. And any of you who know anything about mustard seeds, that when you plant those things and the tree starts to grow, the trunk of the tree gets so wide and it grows up and up and it just kind of overshadows everything. You know, birds can build nests in the tree that results from a mustard seed. The limbs go out there nice and strong. You can put swings on them. So Jesus is saying, I want your faith to be like that mustard seed. I want it to grow so big that whatever doubt that there is in your life, it's going to overshadow it. That's mustard seed faith, people. Okay? That's mustard seed faith. So, the bullets are not real. The bullets are not real. But Satan wants you to think that they are. God's word is real. And that's where we live, in God's word. Amen.